Well, we'll try this. My audio keeps cutting in and out. None of my mics work. I'm actually plugged in with an old mic. Can you guys hear me? I'm just going to throw that out there. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Ah, thank God. I don't know if the song played or not. It kept cutting off. What a nut roll. Welcome to another edition of Shit Doesn't Work. Oh, I hate Microsoft technology. Two words, doesn't work. Well, that was supposed to be Styx Miss America. I don't know how far it got into it before it shit itself. This is like the perfect analogy for the United States right now. You have no idea what's going on. Or who's in charge, or what's with the sudden change? Is it Big Pharma in charge? Is it the tech bros in charge? Is it Palantir in charge, or is it Trump in charge? Yeah. All I have to say about today was a shit show. So he signed the wealth fund today, which I don't think anybody knows what that really means. And it really doesn't even tell me a lot, but there's too many aspects of the Trump administration right now that don't make a hell of a lot of sense. And I find it very, very interesting, but I'll take it. Here's face value. Face value is he's trying to number one, reinvigorate investment in the U.S. and bring manufacturing back to the United States. That's what he's really trying to do. Number two, he's trying to destroy and take away all the mechanisms for money laundering across the entire government spectrum. Number three, he's trying to put in place AI to watch for fraud. That's essentially what he's doing. Now, DARPA announced last week that they're going to do pre-crime, and they're going to set up some kind of an AI that will go look for money laundering. And the same people that brought us microtechnology and some of the other nefarious things are the same people that are going to be looking for money laundering. And the same question came up today is, why are all the Doge guys AI developers? I can tell you why. They're training Grok to look for fraud in the federal government and look for places where money's being laundered. That's what they're doing. Probably in the background, but that's what they're doing. At least that's how I see it. That's face value. Now, the conspiracy side of me says that the whole wealth fund is for public-private investment, as well as a mechanism that gives the federal government the ability to buy Bitcoin and to buy cryptocurrencies and to manipulate the market that way. That's the cynical side of me. On the other side of that, they're deconstructing a lot of the organizations that were well-known secrets for money laundering. If you don't know anything about USAID, let me just give you the condensed version of this. USAID was created supposedly to use government funds to fund NGOs and to fund federal governments and to help distribute quote-unquote aid across the planet. But it's really been used for, and one of the best known, one of the best known facts of Washington, D.C. is that money laundered through USAID or money pushed through USAID never got anywhere except for in the pockets of the elite, the criminals, etc. And most of the Soros organizations, the Rockefeller organizations, and a lot of other NGOs were used to launder money. And you can assume that this comes back to almost every single politician in the federal government, which is why they're frantically trying to get a federal judge to put a restraining order in place to block them from blocking any of the funds going into it. And if you don't understand how government money works, they have to set up what's called a MIPR, which is basically, it's a term that they use for a line of funding. And it's, you have to have a contract with the government, you have to have all these mechanisms in place, and the government can then send you money. It's a big process, right? And most of the defense contractors, et cetera, employ hundreds of people to manage that process. And it's been a well-known secret that that was used for money laundering, a variety of different things. Now, the stuff that they're telling you that USAID was used for, that's tip of the iceberg. That's literally not even the worst stuff. All of these flights that are originating out of country through NGOs, all the NGOs in Panama, IMO, all the other organizations that were used to move and traffic humans and to facilitate the invasion of our country, all done through USAID. All the UN charter, all the UN activities, most of it's funded through USAID. And most of the nefarious activities are funded through USAID. And over the past 20 years, USAID, especially when Obama and Bush came to town, Bush won. This goes all the way back to Bush won. USAID was used to basically fund CIA operations and as a de facto arm of the CIA for the better part of 40 years. It's one of the most well-known facts in DC, but nobody knew how to do anything about it. And then Trump comes in, and guess what? With the stroke of a pen, he eliminates basically three different agencies. He neutered the CDC by pulling us out of the World Health Organization. He neutered USAID by halting all their funding, and he basically neutered the CIA and a good portion of the State Department so that they can't launder money. And here's the other thing, too. You want to know who's really, really involved in all of this UAID stuff? Go look at all these senators and these congressmen out there politicking right now, talking about how Trump is screwing the country over because he stopped funding USAID. He's destroying it. Yeah. They're all laundering money through it. And most importantly, they call them revenue streams. All these career politicians have created revenue streams through NGOs, through USAID, and FTX was a part of that. Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell built a war chest from FTX, and they did it using USAID, sending money overseas that was laundered through Ukraine, that was laundered through a fund in San Francisco that was then sent back to them and put into a war chest. That's been going on for 70 years, probably longer than that. And what Trump did literally overnight was defund all of that. Now, the second and third order effects of what's going to happen from this is that all of those nefarious Antifa, BLM, black Christian groups or whatever they are that are all politicking against Trump, guess where all their funding came from? Guess where ActBlue's funding came from? Guess where they laundered money going to Ukraine? All that's going to dry up for all these organizations. And they're going to find it very, very difficult to be able to fund anything without that laundered money coming through and supporting them, especially BLM and Antifa. They were funded by Soros organizations that were funded by USAID through ActBlue, which allowed them to operate in the United States with impunity and move people all over the country. Without that money, they can't do anything. So when you take a step back from the big picture of this and you look at this in detail, what this does, this essentially will ensure that all of these different programs dry up over the next 90 days. And where that plays out on the ground is in all of these deportation, Palestinian, all of those protests will dry up and evaporate because the paid actors, the agitators, the provocateurs, they won't be able to move around because there won't be any money for them to move around. And all of that's going to show up probably in the next 90 days. Some of it's showing up right now, but it'll show up really when the funds completely dry up. And it tells you a lot that at the same time, all that's going on, Zelensky comes out and now he's starting to say, yeah, we only got 75 of the 170 million that was sent to us. Yeah. So you mean the country received 75 million, but after you and all your douchebag cronies pilfered all the money and bought your yachts and your escape homes, there was only like 1 million left, and it went to a bunch of ammunition that was left over from Czechoslovakia from the 1950s. So you're going to see a lot of downstream effects from USAID that are not apparent right now. And it goes a long ways towards fighting the insurrections that occurred during Trump's first term. So I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt on this. I think everything he's doing related to USAID is a good thing. But what I really want to see now is I want to see disclosure. And you know as well as I do that when you really get down to brass tacks and you really start digging under the covers and you really start finding things, this shit's going to lead back to Palantir and the intelligence agencies. And that's going to be the tell. Are they going to let that out? Are they going to let people see what's really been going on with USAID and how much the intelligence agencies have used that as a slush fund to fund operations all over the world? That's going to be the tell. And I'm really waiting to see if there's going to be any disclosure around it. Now, somebody sent me something yesterday about Prince Andrew in Ukraine that, and he was basically abusing children. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I don't know how real that is, but that's the kind of disclosure, if it's real, that I want to see. Because that's the kind of stuff that most of us take for granted as the, well, conspiracy, right? But in this case, it's going to be real when this stuff comes out. And I'm waiting for that disclosure and the disclosure around USAID and what that organization's really been doing. Because then you're going to see some real fireworks. People will go off the reservation. And they'll go off the reservation for a variety of reasons. And that's just one aspect of it. So the other aspect of it is the funding all these different airlines to move people and children from the border or across the border into the US. Where do you think that money came from? All came from USAID, all funding NGOs. So I'm waiting for the disclosure around those NGOs and where all those children went and who was on the receiving end and where all those children were sent to. All of that, I think, is coming out. And I think when it does, we will see a massive transformation of our society for a variety of reasons. And that's just one aspect of what's going on. So the other aspect of what's going on is this is the uppercut. So Trump started going after Mexico, China, and Canada for fentanyl, and he used tariffs as a stick to beat them with. Both Mexico and Canada are working on plans to secure the border, despite what you hear in the news. By taking out USAID, he's basically decapitated any and all coordination to the cartels. And any money that's funneling to the cartels to move people has been cut off. So you're going to see that show up at the border in the form of a dirty war or kinetic at the border. And it started last night in Nogales. And these protests, these Mexican protests, while the money's last, they're going to be peaceful till they're not. And then today, with the uppercut, Trump basically took back, sent Marco Rubio down there, down to Panama, and took back the Panama Canal. He didn't go down there and negotiate. He took back the Panama Canal. And he basically gave the Chinese exit orders. It's time for you to go. That's essentially what happened. And so if you're watching Michael Yon's post, he's been posting that the Chinese are threatening the Panamanian government. So if you're watching the big picture, what you're seeing is you're seeing Trump using all of his executive powers to stop the pipeline of people, stop the infiltration routes of people, and stop the funding of people coming across the border. At the same time he's doing that, he's using the same mechanisms to go after all the drugs and go after the country sponsoring the drugs, mainly China. And he's doing it through Mexico, and he's doing it through Canada. That will show up as kinetic at some point. The question becomes, what does it look like when it shows up? And I think we're going to see a number of different scenarios play out. But by neutering the infiltration routes through Panama and through the Darien Gap, he's essentially restricted the enemy's movement. And that why this is important is that this is a textbook military operation. So Trump is obviously working with some, I don't want to, dare I say, white hats, but white hats in the military, probably before he came into office. I would say he had 2 years to plan. How do we do this? How do we stop this? How do we turn this around? What are the mechanisms they're using that we can wield the axe to that will cut off the supply of money? This is why when somebody says follow the money, this is why it is so very important to do that. And it's so very important to understand where the money's coming from for all these organizations. And get away from the ideology, the politics, and the cultural aspects of it. That doesn't matter. All of the cultural subversion that's gone on across our country and the information war that's been leveled against our country for the past 10 years, all being funded by USAID, all being funded through the UN, through USAID, et cetera. Trump killed all of that. Now, the other thing which I think he killed, which we're about to see too, is funding for all of this geoengineering that's going on. Because USAID was into a lot of different things. They had carte blanche for a lot of different things. So if they were funding the geoengineering, e.g., Gates was working with Soros, was working with whoever else at USAID and the government that was able to generate US tax dollars to pay for geoengineering, like Soros did to pay for all his Soros initiatives and his NGOs, then guess what? All of that geoengineering supplies stop and are basically grounded. So if Trump did exactly what I think he did, he just pulled off a brilliant move. He shut down the deep state. He shut down the nefarious actors with the stroke of a pen. It's a stroke of genius. And I haven't even talked about censorship or the Atlantic Council or any of the other think tanks that were funded by the US government through USAID. All of that is going to see a rapid decline in their ability to influence the population. And where I'm really waiting to see where this is going to go is to see what happens with the mainstream media and how much they were funded by this too. He's already going after NPR, which I think he should. He should just cut funding and tell them to fuck off, all of them. In fact, this is a letter he should write. Dear NPR staff, go fuck yourselves. You're fired, Donald Trump. And that should be the end of NPR. NPR has always been a left-wing fucking propaganda think tank. Always. Was never anything less than that. And just like public television, turn it all off. All the shit's antiquated now, but I caution everybody on that too. If we start taking away NPR, public broadcasting, et cetera, then that leaves us with the tech bros. And Elon Musk is still censoring people. In fact, I got censored today. And he's still censoring people more so than before he took over Twitter. Shadow bans are still in place. So until we have a viable source of truth and a true public square, those two organizations are useful as long as they're not controlled by political mouthpieces. But how do you check that? And how do you keep it from slanting back towards the liberal agenda? That's the challenge in all of this, as well as the challenge of how do we and what do we do with the U.S. aid side of this when we want to legitimately send aid overseas? Do we send it through state because state's broken? Or do we send it through a public-private partnership, which you know how I feel about those? That's a recipe for a lot of different things, but none of it's good. So until the censorship's gone, that is a bad thing. And by the way, what I got censored for today is that I posted on Twitter. Let me see if I can find that email from them. I got censored on Twitter for saying that, oh, it was a post by somebody about you guys elected a convicted felon. And my response was, yeah, and the former president was a pedophile that abused his daughter for how many years? And it was in the diaries and nobody disputed it. Give me a break. Get some new material. And oh, by the way, you're a retard. They censored me for the fact that I called out Biden as a pedophile. So that should tell you that there's a ton of censorship still. And, you know, I routinely check the boundaries and hit the guardrails to figure out what they're censoring. A couple of weeks ago, they were censoring anything that was critical of Israel. Weeks before that, they were censoring anything that talked about birthright and talked about H-1B visas. And now they're censoring anything that has to do with pedophilia, especially from the Bidens. So it tells me, it tells me a couple of things. So this USAID thing is going to lead back to all these politicians. And they didn't pardon, Biden didn't pardon Obama. He didn't pardon Obama, Brennan, Hayden, Clapper, and what's the other shit pick's name? Axelrod. So everybody in Obama's circle, even Susan Rice and Victoria Nuland, are all Jake Sullivan. They're all open for prosecution when the money leads back to them, the malfeasance leads back to them. And most importantly, the election interference leads back to them. So what they're doing and what Trump's doing is he's cutting the funding. He's reducing the risk to the American public. He's reducing the teeth and all the organizations that the left used in his last term to subvent his and circumnavigate any of his legislation and executive orders. He's killed all that with one stroke of a pen. So now they don't have the ability to shoot, move, and communicate, which is why I say it is a military operation. And I can see what he's doing. He's literally removing the worst elements. He's removing the most and the biggest threats and removing the enemy's most dangerous course of action. At the same time, he's setting up for tribunals, real tribunals, and real court cases to go after these people in federal court. That's what he's doing. That's what I see at face value. Now, the investment stuff, the Larry Ellis thing, Sam Altman, all of that is still out there. That's still out there in the gray area of what is it, what's it going to look like, who's funding it, et cetera. I'm not as worried about that because that's a longer term play. Just like, post-Trump, who's going to be post-Trump? All those things are down the road. I'm watching the close fight right now because the danger to us and to the US right now are the cartels, the criminal elements, all these gangs that have been imported from all these different countries, as well as all of the, foreign fighters that have come in. Trump's trying to deal with those guys right now. And by severing all access to the Darien Gap by the Chinese, guess what he did? He cut off all the supply routes for the Chinese. He cut off all of the resupply and the reinforcements coming through the Darien Gap. Using the tariffs, he went after Canada, and he called it tariffs after all of the drugs, but it's really tariffs to cut down and really prohibit China from being able to operate freely in Canada and Mexico. And next, you're going to see kinetic. And that's going to come in a very shocking way. Because when you cut off, first you cut them off and then you kill them. And Trump's cutting them off right now. In about 90 days, they'll be completely cut off. And then he's going to move in for the kill. And that'll be kinetic aircraft, drones, you name it. All this hype around the cartels using drones and authorizing use of drones against Border Patrol. Go ahead. If you want a quick avenue to a 2,000-pound bomb on your head, start using drones on Border Patrol. And then you'll see B-1s, B-2s, B-52s over your head. And he will level entire swaths of the border. He's that serious. And you can see the strategy in this. Cut off the lines of funding, cut off the supply routes, and then be able to operate with impunity without being interdicted by China. And what he's doing is he's calling China's bluff because China has a 5,000-mile supply route they have to run. It's actually more like 7,000 miles. So all of those things are going to come to roost in about 90 days, maybe sooner. But about 90 days is when you'll really see the downstream second and third order effects from him cutting the money supply off. And what you're also going to see too, and I want everybody to take this in, for the first time in our lifetimes, you're going to see a world that doesn't revolve around USA. And you're going to see all these different things around the world fall apart that you didn't really pay attention to because USA has been cut off. And you may actually see a secure border for the first time in our history. And most importantly, you may see, well, I'm not going to say that, but you may see the end of the cartels and the drug trade. If this is all moving in the direction I think it is, they're moving towards the eradication of all of the cartels. And that will be a monumental shift in the American psyche. Because we will, in my lifetime, drugs have been around my whole life. Marijuana, then cocaine, then meth, PCP, and then crack cocaine, and then the real meth epidemic, and now fentanyl. My whole lifetime, it's always been in the background. It's always been a problem. The border crossings have always been a problem. And notice how he's doing all this through the executive order because nothing's happening in Congress. Congress is just, they're just figureheads doing nothing. They haven't really passed any legislation. They haven't discussed really any legislation. And this shows you just how corrupt Congress is. And what really needs to happen now is a repeal of the Patriot Act, a repeal of the CARES Act, a repeal of the SAFE Act, a repeal of Smith-Mundy, There's a host of things that need to be repealed. We'll see if he gets it done. Smith-Mundy is the first one that needs to be repealed. There needs to be real repercussions for media outlets that lie to the American public. There needs to be real jail time for sorting, citing anonymous sources that are BS, e.g. the mainstream media pushing propaganda. There needs to be real deterrence for that, real repercussions. And real journalists need to be incentivized to do the right thing and to cite sources. It's a long, long lost art in our country. I mean, it's been gone since well before 9/11. It's been gone for a very long time. Sorry, I had to sneeze. It's been gone for a very long time. We need to get back to that. The only way we're going to get back to that is to make it real, to put some real deterrence in and put some real punishment in for people that break the law when it comes to information. And I'm not talking about censorship. I'm talking about citing sources. Somebody asked me today, which news sources do you use? Well, the Gateway Pundit is not one of those sources I use, but the Washington Pundit is. Dr. EC and the crew over there, they do a fantastic job. Tracy Beans does a good job. The Revolver.News does a good job. There's several Substack authors that do a fantastic job of citing sources and getting to the bottom of it. Whitney Webb does a lot of good things, but Whitney Webb, she gives you all the context of what it is, but she doesn't give you the big picture of what it all equals and what it all means. And some of the folks that I follow, especially Revolver.News, they do a good job of boiling it up and distilling out what the big picture looks like and how it all trickles down to everybody else. That's what people really need to see from a source of truth. And at the same time, all that, people need to see a source of truth where everything they say is irrefutable. It's fact. You can't say that about any of the mainstream media. And where this will show up is shows like The View, Dateline, 60 Minutes, that are just mouthpieces for the CIA. They'll all be forced to cite sources and publish real information. Now, does it mean they're going to tell the truth? No. It'll definitely be a bias towards it, but it will be curtailed quite a bit. And the bottom line is the intelligence agencies need to be, the CIA needs to be kicked out of just about everything. So Trump needs to go after them too. Radcliffe needs to take a hatchet to that place and get rid of everybody. And that's a harder sell though. And that's a harder fix, because he battled the intelligence community his first time around and the intelligence agencies won. This time around, he knows what to do. And he's got people on his team that legitimately understand where the Achilles heels are for the defense industry, for the intelligence agencies, especially the CIA, and who all their front organizations are. But even with that, even with people that were inside the system that are willing to work to get some kind of transparency back, you're still going to have a long road to reform and fix that, because that whole apparatus has been in place for over 60 years, and they've recruited people that are essentially sociopaths and psychopaths. Just because you lay them off and kick them out of the system doesn't mean they don't go to work for somebody else making the same money, doing the same thing in a different place or in the same place. And that was the problem he had with John Brennan and with Hayden and Clapper. All those guys were still deeply embedded in the system, which is why he took their clearances away. He had to take away their ability to pivot and operate within the system to circumvent anything he was doing. All of that takes an incredible amount of logistics to get rid of guys like that. I know, I was in that industry, and I know just how hard it is to get rid of people. Even if you just short of taking away their clearance, it's super hard to get them out. And taking away their clearances, it restricts their access to classified information. But they still have a lot of people in the system that are John Brennan 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. And he's got to root out all those people too. So you're just seeing the start right now. And the start of this is channelizing the enemy for destruction. And that's really what we're seeing. That's the bigger picture right now. He's channelizing the enemy into a kill box, and he's going to, at some point, unleash the kinetic on him. Those days are coming. And, you know, Matt Bracken talked about a dirty war in the roundtable we did a couple weeks back. And I'm telling you, the things that he's talking about are real. And we probably will see a dirty war here. And the thing that I see, I don't know how real this is yet, but I see people more and more carrying heavy, a lot more concealed carry. I'm seeing a lot more open carry because people have no idea what's going to happen in our society. They don't know how the cartels are going to react here. They don't know how the situation is going to develop here. So they're all hedging their bets. And I don't know how it's going to develop either. But at some point, we'll see the kinetic side of this. Where? I don't know. If it's going to be inside our border, outside our border, I don't know. But all the steps that they're taking right now is classic of what you do for isolating and destroying an enemy. And I see all those isolation moves geared at China and at the cartels, not to mention the human traffickers, and setting the stage for bigger and wider arrests. Because what you're not hearing about with USAID is you're just hearing about the funding. Nobody's done a real investigation of USAID in its entire history to go back to source and say, these are the people that are behind this. That's what's going to take a long time, is that investigation. Somebody to go follow all those revenue streams to figure out where they came from and figure out who authorized them. Because that's going to be the tell in exactly who was involved, exactly where the money went, and exactly who got paid. And that's the law, that's the, you know, the slow grind of the legal system, which explains to me why Elon Musk and crew are probably training AI to follow the money and figure out where it all went. Because think about it this way. If you need to fast track and get to the point where you can discern exactly who committed what crimes within the federal government before a specific time period, e.g. re-election, and you wanted to get a bulk of the power players out of the federal government, and you want to get a bulk of the people that are at the higher stratas that are funding and manipulating the system in order to allow them to operate, what's the best way to do that? AI. Now, does that mean I'm on board with it? Fuck no. Terrible idea. Terrible idea. Especially when you consider, you know, that Elon Musk is the guy that's pushing and doing the AI work right now. One second. Sorry about that. But the other side of it is, if Elon brought in AI and development to develop AI in order to go sift through all the federal records, because AI can do it 24/7 faster than any of us, then think about it from the aspect of you're building a case with all the emails, everything else, transactions, bank account numbers, NGOs, aliases, all of that. And AI can hand that to the FBI on a silver platter. Guess what? It allows the Secret Service and the FBI to roll up the key players at the very tippy top, and it hands them a court case on a silver platter. That's what I see at face value. The skeptic in me says that what Trump's really after is he's after dismantling the CIA apparatus and the ability for the CIA to conduct operations, not just here, but abroad. And I think he's doing it as well as going after the Federal Reserve and using the Federal Reserve to do some of it too. But there's a lot of pieces to this. I can't look at it and say definitively this is a good thing or a bad thing. The cynic in me says there's a vendetta there, and Trump's pushing a vendetta, which is fine. He can do that. But we still have to get to the place where we investigate, we trace it all the way back to source, we arrest the big fish, and we take down the biggest crime families in America, as well as the intelligence agencies. That's what we have to do. Does that mean he's going to do it? We're going to see. We're going to find out how far this is going to go. I know they are setting up to take Obama down. That has been communicated by Flynn. That's been communicated now by a few others. That's being tacitly communicated by the fact that Biden didn't pardon any of them. And it's been communicated that others of the food chain are going to be prosecuted too. And the fact that we're hearing about biolabs being funded by USAID, that goes right back to Obama, Fauci, NIH, et cetera. So we're about to see how serious Trump is about sorting these problems out and fixing the back end of the federal government. We'll see. And the tell is not going to be in who they arrest or who they try. The tell is going to be, at what point does the child trafficking and human trafficking get disclosed to the public in a way that these people can't hide from it? Meaning, who went to Epstein's Island, who went to the Diddy parties, who was killing children, who was abusing children, who was buying children, who was selling children, all of that. All that's in USA, all of it. Right down to how they moved kids and where the hubs were to move kids into specific cities and who was behind it. Which families, which strata, and which European royalty are involved. All of that's in those documents. I guarantee you that it's in there. And if we don't see any of that, then as far as I'm concerned, Trump's a controlled asset. Now, a lot of people freaked out today about the comment that Secretary of the Treasury made about COVID vaccines. What he's trying to say is, if we're going to buy 2 million of anything, the government should get a cut of the profits of that. If you go back to the early 80s, early 90s, the government used to take a cut from the pharmaceuticals in the form of it was basically a discount. So when you bought drugs at a hospital, there was a discount factor that was by law in the equation, to where the pharmaceuticals could only charge a certain amount for specific drugs. And there was a discount in there that the government took back. Well, when Obama passed Obamacare, Obamacare was not about healthcare. It was about taking away all of the incentives that cut into the profits of the insurance companies and big pharma and force people to pay for health insurance. And the discount on pharmaceuticals that was in place for years and years and years was taken away. And now the insurance companies are the ones who get the money from the pharmaceuticals and all the discounts. The consumer gets the cost. So if you think your insurance company is losing money because of big pharma and because of pharmaceuticals, you're fucking high. The healthcare industry through Obamacare was turned into a money extraction and a money laundering scheme and a for-profit business. It was nothing else. And there's a lot of nuances, a lot of specifics about it. That it doesn't matter. The bigger picture is Obamacare was the one that drove the price of pharmaceuticals to the point of, unaffordability for most Americans. And I'm hoping that throughout this next 4 years, that we see people held accountable. We see all of the correspondence, even the classified stuff from Bush 1 all the way through Obama and the Clintons, so everybody can see just how corrupt these people really are. And most importantly, I want to see all of the message traffic between USAID and the fucking Clinton Foundation with regards to Haiti and Haitian children and what those motherfuckers have been doing in Haiti. And that's just one. Myanmar, there's a host of other countries those shitbags have been into. And I want to see the fucking receipts on what the Clinton Foundation has been doing with children in every country that they're involved in. Just like I want to see the receipts on everything that Bill Gates has been doing through the Gates Foundation related to vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and healthcare. And then I want to see these motherfuckers perp walked. And I don't mean casually. I want their head to be fucking slammed into the top of the car before they get pushed in and then rin-tin-tin to chew on these assholes for a while. And then I want them to see them bruised and beat to shit in court. I want them to fucking suffer. And then I want them to rot in a jail cell for the rest of their miserable lives. In fact, you could put the Clintons and Obama in solitary confinement and just put a camera in there and watch them go fucking crazy. That to me is justice. You kill them, they get to start over. Throw them in a jail and watch them go fucking crazy. That's what I want to see from these shitbags. But we'll see if we actually see any of it. The first step is somebody has to investigate all of it. Somebody has to follow the money and figure out where it all went. And then it needs to be repatriated. That's going to take a shitload of time. It's not going to happen overnight. So don't get your hopes up that, you know, somebody's going to get arrested as soon as, you know, Bondi and Cash Patel take office. They're going to have to do a ton of research. They're going to have to do a ton of investigations. And if I was a betting man, I would say that that's why Elon Musk is there, is to put AI in place that can go do that work and go ferret out all his communications, which is why he wanted access to the payment system so he could train Grok to go find it and figure out where the money went and then build a chart to show where that money landed and which one of these shitbags in Congress had a revenue stream out of it. But more importantly, where did the CIA plug in? How many CIA front organizations were paid through USAID and that money was funneled into some third world overthrow? But more importantly, I think where this is going is they want to know how much money was paid overseas to ensure the 2020 election was stolen. Because I think all roads lead back to Trump getting fucked in 2020. Because he's definitely got a vendetta. And he definitely wants some payback. At least, again, I'm saying this at face value. The cynical side of me, I have a lot of different thoughts. At first, I don't have any hope that anybody of real significance is going to be prosecuted. Second, I don't have any hope that anybody that needs to be executed is going to be executed. And three, I'm worried about who is going to be post-Trump and who's going to be behind them. Because if we replace one set of shitbag leaders with another set of shitbag leaders, we really haven't changed anything. We're still back at square one. And look, I don't pay any... Somebody asked me today, are you paying attention to, you know, X, Y, and Z? And somebody asked me if I was... In fact, I think Sharita asked me if I watched the Grammys last night. No. I don't watch mainstream TV. Why? Because it's nonsense. Mainstream media has become the celebration of less than mediocre. Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, they're strippers. That's all they are. They're strippers. There's music in the background. The only thing missing is a stripper pole. But that's not talent. That's not real artist. Real artist. You want to know a real artist in my mind? Brian Wilson. The guy wrote amazing songs. And that was back in the 60s. There's a host of other. Chris Cornell was an amazing artist. What we're seeing now, these aren't artists. These aren't actors. These are publicized assets. That's all they are. Owned assets. There's not one thing about that industry, not one thing about any of those quote unquote celebrities. That's endearing. Not one thing. And the whole system is corrupt to the point where it just bankrupts the moral fiber of the country. And that's what it was designed to do anyway. Yeah, Satan's minions. Great. That's a good way to say it, Tree Girl. They're all just satanic shitbags. So we're seeing the death of that industry too. We'll see the death of Hollywood. We'll see the death of mainstream within the next 10 years. What it's replaced with is what I'm worried about. Because we need a real town square, not this cultivated, curated shit that we see on X and on Facebook and all the rest of them. Yeah, I did know Chris Cornell. I still know his family. In fact, Chris Cornell's mom and my mom have been good friends for almost 70 years. And, you know, a lot of people say Chris was killed. His family will tell you different. He struggled with depression for a long time. He had his own set of issues going on. I'm not going to say otherwise because, you know, I saw the downstream of that. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about Chris is I think he was just hitting the best part of his career and he didn't realize it. You know, he saw what was in front of him. He saw the financial side of that. And I just think he didn't realize the best part of his career was in front of him because he was an amazing songwriter. So anyway, I digress. Look, you're going to see a lot of things that are going to not make sense over the next 90 days as the money runs out for all these organizations. The thing that I caution everybody on is stay cautiously optimistic, stay situationally aware, pay attention to what's going on at the border, because what happens at the border is going to trickle over into every city in this country. And whatever that plays out into, you should be situationally aware at all times. And my urge is still the same. Travel heavy. Be ready for anything. Don't take anything for granted. Whether you believe it or not, now is a very, very dangerous time in our history. Very, very dangerous. And there is no point in time prior other than 1860 where I think we were closer to a civil war than we are right now. And the worst part is most of it's going to be driven by AI. Because that's what's being pushed right now, the civil war and race war. They're really pushing for it. You can see it in everything. So take nothing for granted. Some administrative notes before I wrap this up. Number one, t-shirts, how you can find me. They are in the description for every video. Somebody asked me about, are there different types of t-shirts? Yeah, there's t-shirts, hats, mugs, whatever. You can buy sweatshirts, t-shirts, jackets, all of that. It's all out there. And look, I don't make any money off of it. It basically covers the costs for doing the Rumblecast and all the other different services I pay for to get the message out. So same with Rumble. Somebody asked me about the path forward. Path forward, we're targeting May for a kickoff of the path forward. And somebody asked me about inventory, stuff that I want to quote unquote sell. I can tell you what I have in inventory. I have a 6.5 Creedmoor. It's got a 24 or 26 inch barrel. I can't remember which one. It's like $1,800 rifle that's not geared out. Guy ordered it, didn't want it. I have two 5.56 short pistols. I think I got an M&P2, and I've got I bought a T-Sash 5.7, a PX 5.7. So I think I have that sitting out there too. But I definitely have some rifles. I have a couple of Arrow Precision Pros that we bought to run through the paces and decided not to do that. Got a couple of those out there too. So if you're interested in that, you can hit me up on Telegram or hit my email at Republic Armament and I can tell you what we have. But hopefully that'll answer the question for the four guys that were asking me about firearms. And last but not least, I should be back Wednesday, should be back Thursday. Depends. Thursdays are iffy for the round table because the guys are traveling. So when the guys are on the move, it's really hard to do. But hopefully we'll be back Thursday with the roundtable. I'll definitely be back on Wednesday, and we'll see how things go. Remember, stay alert. Now's the time to stay alert. Until then, folks, God bless. One team, one fight.